But that's a way of explaining how we all operate in the world. We're just not conscious of it like that a lot of the time. So again, to come back to your question, what's my creative process? It's really just navigating those two things. It's like a different way of me consciously always checking in with, okay, how is this of service? How does this show up in the world? How does this relate to my developing purpose? But also...
Welcome to the Phase 4 podcast, inspired by Vishen Lakhiani and Ajit Nawalkar, co-founders of EverCoach, a division of Vine Valley. In this podcast, we speak to coaches and creatives about where they were, where they are, and where they are going. This is the intersection of what we focus on expands, and your story is your superpower. My guest today is Phoebe Camaletti. She is a multidimensional artist covering music, dance, visual arts, writing, and so much more. And today we're going to definitely get into that and talk a lot about creativity. And Phoebe, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, JP. I'm truly honored to be here. I just think it's so much fun to be able to connect with someone who's as mindfully focused as you are and just talk everything creativity. So I really appreciate it.
Thank you for your kind words.
Yeah.
We're kind of just talking off about creativity and how, like, you have so much different things going on. So I would love to know more about what you do. And then we'll get into a conversation about creativity.
So what I do is very creativity focused. You might, you know, imagine that really. But I say this to say that I am someone who always grew up being very expansively creative. You know, I've always felt compelled in multiple different directions, mainly music and writing and visual art. But music and writing were big things for me growing up. And, you know, growing up, people really saw me as a Renaissance woman of sorts. They would kind of marvel, like, how do you do all of this creative stuff? But because of limiting beliefs that I had about myself for quite some time, I really struggled with being able to identify as an artist, like, overtly. You know, I wouldn't put that title on myself. I kind of shove it away. But I did gravitate towards writing specifically. And so I was a writing coach for the past 11 years. It was a really great way of bringing people into my view of creativity and learning about them as creators themselves. I gained a lot of knowledge about creative psychology in that way. But my point is that it was limiting in the sense of, like I said, I was always very creative. And so I was feeling in different parts of myself that I wasn't able to fully express that as a writing coach, which is why I've evolved myself essentially very purposefully to be able to identify in different ways as an artist, to identify in different ways as a writer, and to be able to essentially help people identify as creative themselves who don't see themselves as creative. So kind of like the short answer to the question is I would say I'm a speaker, I'm a coach, I'm a writer, and I'm an artist, but all focused around this idea of being able to bring people into creativity for themselves.
I love that. And so bring people into creativity. Like, there's a thing I think people think that, oh, well, I'm not creative, that's not for me, which is not true. It's like just about remembering that we are creative and taking action towards that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is very true. Like, I think that is the crux of it. Like, it's such a thing that people don't identify as creative. And frankly, my view is that pretty much anything that we're doing is creative. We just kind of shove it off, or we think like, oh, that's that, or I am not this. It's just a matter of these different labels that we assign to ourselves, a matter of these limiting perspectives that we all have. You know, I have them. I acknowledge that. Done a lot of work to not have them, but they're still there, right? So everybody's dealing with this, and we're up against the society where, especially in education, for example, everything is very scripted. Everything is very linear. We're not encouraging non-linear thought. School programs, curricula do have creative measures. Don't get me wrong. And I love that. That's wonderful. But even then, it's very constrained. There are expectations. There are parameters. Okay. So really, when you look at the totality of who we are as human beings, and then we compare that essentially to what we're fed in society, the beliefs that we feed ourselves as well, night and day is not a good enough comparison for the difference between those things. It's like a fraction of a fraction, that possibility that we think we have versus what we're actually capable of. So I believe that we are not only unique creators. I would take it a step further, truthfully, to say that I believe that every person is an artist. We've just been told that an artist is a certain kind of person. But in reality, I believe that each person is a certain kind of artist. It's just a matter of whether you want to put in the effort to essentially heal, I think, in ways that allow you to embrace that as true. And all of creativity is healing, I feel like.
Wow. That could go in so many different directions. I'm thinking like little kids, right? Like, they don't need anything. They don't need a phone or anything. They'll just, whatever's in front of them, they make art out of it or they play with it like that.
Yeah, and it's like, and I understand why, but what's to say that we can't do that now? Oh, it's a waste of time. You know, like, why would I do that? But that's exactly why you need to do that. It's because it's going to open up something for you that you didn't necessarily even know that you were pushing away. But the things that are inside of you and the things that you kind of know are inside of you because you feel stuck or you feel sad or you feel like you're not sure what your purpose is or you're not sure how to move forward. When you allow yourself to experiment like that, when you allow yourself to play, when you allow yourself to do something out of character, no matter what it is, pick up a violin, like throw some stuff together with paint. When you allow yourself something like that, it is a truly self-caring, beautiful, loving act that will allow you to see yourself differently. Doesn't matter how, you just need that different perspective on yourselves. And it is a very creatively inclined perspective that's really important. So yeah, I hear what you're saying. That makes sense to me.
Am I hearing that curiosity is a really important part of this?
You are in fact hearing that. Yes. I would say that for me, one of the things that's interesting about curiosity is I like to look at it as a step on the way to purpose, a step on the way to care. So let's just say someone's an individual who really does feel stuck, feeling insecure. Of course, all of us feel like that at different times in our life. I've been there multiple times. But being able to just kind of transcend that and go to a place of like, oh, I love myself. Oh, I care about this. It's very difficult and it can oftentimes feel unapproachable. Like, I can't do that. So you just don't do anything. My point is, I think that curiosity can be a natural step in the progression. And in fact, I think that art is a huge, beautiful way to cultivate that curiosity so that you can closely or soon after, I should say, you can soon after arrive at care. Curiosity is kind of like a median point. It's easier to cultivate that curiosity than it is to cultivate self-love, care, and things like that. So I think that curiosity is major, 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 major. And it can start with, again, like breaking out of your comfort zone a little bit.
Yeah, that's what it is, right? It's breaking out of your comfort zone and just stretching a little bit. And even if we took that just into writing, if you focus only on one type of writing, you're not going to grow as quickly or as much as if you try other areas, even if those aren't your favorite things, you come back to them. And talking about writing, I teach this course. It's a mix of The Artist's Way by Juliet Cameron and The Tao Te Ching. And I just married the two of them and I made a course out of it.
I love that.
Yeah, it's a really cool course. But there's like one thing is the morning pages. You do these morning pages every day and it's just a way to filter out all the crap that's going on in your head, which opens you up. And at the beginning of the course, everybody's like blocked or I'm not creative. And the whole point of the course is to unlock creativity. But by week three or four of doing this exercise, and there's another one, the artist date, where you go on a date with yourself and you push that comfort zone. And then these two things allow you to unlock flow and figure out where you're going. But I'm curious about, I guess, when I'm talking about the artist date, about your own creative process and what that might look like.
Oh, okay. And I love what you're saying about your course. I think that's a fantastic idea. I think the date thing is particularly cool in that. That's a great exercise, I think. So my creative process, that's obviously a big question. It's an excellent question. I would say that for me, sincerity is a huge part of it. And in fact, that's something that I really want to share with people, that I really want to reach people with. And when I say sincerity, I'll explain what I mean, because I feel like people essentially equate this idea of sincerity with the idea of authenticity. And I think there's overlap. But my point is that I think authenticity is like a buzzword in society today. Rightly so, like it should be. And I think it's especially a buzzword in the realm of creativity as well. So authenticity basically means like being true to yourself, right? Like, you know, do something that's raw, that's authentic to you. That is great. And I'm not at all discounting that. But I like taking it a step further in the sense of like, what's really the truth in relation to other people? AKA, what's the purpose, right? How is this affecting other people? What is the extension out into the world of my authenticity? That's when it becomes sincerity. So to come back to your question, I see my artistic practice is really rooted in sincerity, where I'm doing this navigatory act constantly of trying to ascertain what is my authenticity in this situation. And how does that relate to other people? How does that relate to the change that I want to affect by producing this piece, by writing this poem, whatever it is? But it's the marriage, to use your word, it's the marriage of the two. And it's never linear. It's never like, oh, this is for other people. Yeah, it's never like it's for other people or it's for me. It's that beautiful synthesis. But that's a way of explaining how we all operate in the world. We're just not conscious of it like that a lot of the time. So again, to come back to your question, what's my creative process? It's really just navigating those two things. It's like a different way of me consciously always checking in with, okay, how is this of service? How does this show up in the world? How does this relate to my developing purpose? But also, how is it just fun for me? And how is it raw for me? So that is one way I would respond to that. Just this kind of dance, if you will, of authenticity and sincerity together.
That's awesome. I've been saying myself that 2024 is the year of authenticity. And yeah. I never heard it described like that. And I really like it because, yeah, that is the sincerity. And it also, it reminds me of just like oneness. Like we're all connected and like, who do you serve kind of comes in and all these things. And so I don't even know where to go because you have so many different forms of arts and performing arts. I think, like you said at the beginning, almost that the school doesn't really teach it. And some schools do, but it's really, really underrated. I think sitting at the desk, 15 minutes and a half an hour for lunch, and where's the arts? My wife is a music major and a drama teacher, and she doesn't eat ever because she's doing it during recess or lunch is the only time she can do the choir and the play. And wow. So, yeah, but so I think you're definitely onto something. And so because you have so many different things, model, musician, visual artist, dancer, writer, which one is, do you have a favorite or do they all kind of intertwine?
It's a very good question. I do have a favorite, right? You know, it's like picking a favorite child, but I will, for the purpose of conversation, it's important. Writing. Writing is my first love. You know, it's why I was a writing coach for 11 years. It is something that is so nuanced and so beautiful to me, just the different expressions that you can construct in writing, the different ways that you can interpret yourself in writing. Man, just the sheer creativity of different writing modalities. You know I mentioned that poetry and novels are what I gravitate toward, but even the essay as a creative construct, and to come back to the idea of school, how it is regimented any kind of creative enterprise. You know, we are taught in school, of course, that the essay looks like a very boring piece of product that no one wants to create, right? But it doesn't have to be that way. It can be this beautiful exploratory tool. We just don't see it that way. And to come back to education just for a moment before I continue that line of thought, that's the problem with arts education. Like I acknowledge, like, you know, we need it. I think it's beautiful that we have it. Like, obviously, that's essential. But the problem with arts education is that it's prescriptive. It's not set in place to be a guide for your internal, your intrinsic creativity. We set these teachers up with good intentions. We set this funding up with good intentions to essentially walk people through creativity. You are already creative. It's a matter of calling you back to yourself, not telling you you need to be this, this, and this. In fact, that's kind of the antithesis of creativity, if you look at it that way. So what we really need is more of a guide that allows you to expand into your own learning. We need to empower you as your own creative, as your own learner. And that's what arts education should do. But to come back to the point that you were asking me about, writing would be what I would say. And the reason why is because I think that it is such a beautiful medium for expansion, for learning, for me to be able to see myself differently as a creator. But I love them all. I love them all. I can't pick a favorite. That's just what I'm saying.
Yeah, I saw you rocking out on a guitar, and that looked like lots of fun, that you're having super fun and obviously passionate about it.
Yeah.
I wonder, what kind of challenges do you run into, like, with creativity? There's bound to be times where you get blocked, and kind of how do you unblock yourself when that happens? Or how do you even know, first of all, that it's happening?
That is a very good question, I think, for everyone really listening, because, you know, everyone knows the term writer's block, right? You know, we've all been there, me included. But really, I would just say that the idea of being blocked, I think, is kind of not an illusion per se, but even that itself as a message is a limitation. And when we have these terms like writer's block, I think it proliferates the idea societally in community that that is a thing, you know, to avoid. That is a thing that will happen to you. Whereas there's different ways to frame it, right? So the crux of your question, though, is important. You know, you're asking me, how do I deal with it? I think that really a lot of it just comes down to checking in with yourself. It comes down to any kind of meditative act, whether that's journaling for you, whether that's literal meditation, whether that's some kind of visualization technique that you like to use or that you think you might want to use. I think it really comes down to checking in with yourself. And then beyond that, it might in fact be something just like letting yourself do something crazy, like do something that you haven't done, like pull out some strange materials, put them together, see what happens, right? So even for people who do identify as creative, we need that too. You know, we just kind of sometimes I think we don't, because we know what we're doing and we're on the path. But when you're blocked, whatever you want to call it, because it does happen, just doing something that kind of is unexpected for you. But I do think that, I think the last point I'll make on this is the idea of a blockage, like I was saying a little bit, it's kind of a misnomer. And the reason why is because we as beings of nature, right, we go through cycles. And so even a period such as depression, for example, can be kind of construed as more of like a winter season. It's a rest season. That doesn't mean that there's not these other cycles that are being brought to bear in your life. So it's all just this cyclical thing. So a block is always going to come back around. It's just part of the cycle. It's not something that's pushing you back. It's not something that's to be avoided. It's not even something that's a negative. It's just a part of that cycle. And I think that the more that we can see ourselves as creative beings, the more we actually have acceptance for the blockage in whatever form it takes, the more we can see that as beautiful, the more we can see that as actually conducive to the creativity. It's not opposed to it. It's just a step on the process that we all have to go through.
Wow, that's awesome.
Thank you.
I'm hearing again, curiosity again, mm-hmm. and pushing your limits and even marrying that or mixing that with the artist date. That's what the artist date's all about. It's like going somewhere, doing something different, going, seeing something, bringing something new into your environment. And that's where the blocks happen, is when you're just doing the same repetitive motion. For anyone listening who's wondering, hey, when, how do I know if I'm getting blocked? One way to tell is if, like, you're doing something that you're forcing really hard, it's not feeling good, and it's taking a lot longer than your normal flow. And the way you do that, nature is another one you can add to that list you had, that beautiful list. And just change it up. Switch your environment and change things. Try a different music station, anything. Just change your environment. And that is one solution that I've found. On my first artist date, checked it. Okay, so my question actually is there a spiritual element to all of this for you?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I would absolutely say so. And I think what that brings up for me, just kind of off out the gate, would be the idea, like I said, of I feel like every person is a creator, right? Like, I feel like we are all unique creators. And that's a very spiritual concept for me. You know, I think that there's a lot of connectivity to divinity in that. And that's essentially how we were made to be. I think that I'm realizing this now. I think that it's no error, really, that so many people struggle with seeing themselves as creative, because I think that for many, if not all people, I think it's part of a journey to, in their own way, realize that they are creative. AKA that they can construct anything for their life that they want, right? Because that's what we're really talking about. Like, I don't care if it's like writing, I don't care if it's like a crazy visual art form, right? It's this idea of, are you in command of who you want to be showing up as in your own life? Yes or no? Like, what is it? And creativity, as such, can be a way of helping you arrive at that, because it's fun, because it's who you are, because it, like you said, removes those blockages, you know, change up your environment, change up what you're doing. That will allow you to progress toward where you want to go. And it's where we all want to go, towards purpose, toward being connected to other human beings. That's what we're here for, right? But that all starts with you understanding that you create your own life. You know, you have to take agency. And I think that different ways of expressing yourself creatively are a great way to do that.
Wow. Yeah, this is awesome conversation. I think like a lot of what you're saying resonates so deeply with me. So I love it. And you talked about creative psychology. Maybe can we expand on that for people who don't know what that is or never heard that term?
Sure. To me, creative psychology essentially is, okay, one way I would describe it for myself is this idea that I think that we have this idea of neurodivergence in our society, right? That's come up as kind of like a buzzword, and I respect its existence. I think that it's good. And it's obviously very important to call attention to certain conditions, certain ways that people's brains work, certain ways their bodies work, not discounting that whatsoever. That being said, what interests me about this is that I think everyone's brain works uniquely, you know, frankly. And so if you really unpack it, neurodivergent kind of just means everyone's brain. Like, yeah, sure. There are some standards that people's brains fit into, like mine included, like, okay. But what are these unique sensitivities that each person has? That's for me, creative psychology, right? It's being able to be attuned to, like, oh, you know, I see that you use that word there. You know, why? And then they're able to actually articulate a thought process that they weren't even conscious of, but that's because that's how their brain works. And it's like, oh, you know, that's an interesting choice that you made with that color. Why did you do that? So it's really just unpacking these layers upon layers of the fact that I think the brain is a creative modality, right? That's all it does. It creates stories, it creates realities, creates experiences. So for me, it's just this understanding that I think my belief is that every brain is unique. My belief is that every brain is special and truly worthy. And so if someone does want to learn his or her brain, right? If someone does want to understand themselves better, I think that creative psychology as such can open up a lot for you, because you start questioning your choices. You start questioning patterns that you see playing out in your life. And that is the work of the artist. You know, it's just that you're an artist of your own reality with your brain. So it's kind of like a long-winded way of addressing your question, but I think that that's one way that I would look at it.
Yeah, I love it. A lot of this is coaching, like, and I never thought of it that way, creativity and blocks, like, and even though I'm teaching the course, it's like I'm coaching, but a lot of it is just like, even the color thing you just said, it's like, why are you using that color? Because there's a reason, right? And people just think, no, I'm just doing it. No, you're not. There's a reason you picked it up.
Right.
And how about, what are you working on now? I wonder, like, there's so many. I'm sure you're working on all sorts of stuff, but I guess I'm kind of thinking music. Like, how do you, I don't know, how do you balance it all? Like, I don't know. There's only 24 hours.
You ask a very important question, and balance is something that I always have struggled with. That is one of my number one struggles throughout my life, because one of the things that I've struggled with within that is, to me, a lot of the time, everything seems important. Everything seems vibrant. Everything seems inspirational. I want to grab this. I want to do that. But running up, of course, against what you're saying, which is that constraint of time being what it is. And then, of course, even beyond that, it's just like energy, you know, and then like the questioning that you do with and of yourself, like, is that really what I want to do? Like this, that, and the other beliefs, you know, a lot. But so balance is difficult. And
I think that where I'm at, one way of saying it, is I'm expanding into different ways for myself of understanding that you really can have it all as long as you don't consign yourself to an expectation that it needs to look a certain way. So I'm going to unpack that a little bit because obviously that's pretty broad and might not make sense. But what I mean is, I realized a few years back, and that's part of why I'm on this specific journey right now, but I realized a few years back that, like, you know, one reason I went so heavily into writing coaching is because I didn't believe in myself as an artist. You know, it's like I didn't necessarily believe in certain aspects of myself being a musician. So it was kind of like hiding behind a certain kind of creativity because that's what felt like what I should do, right? But I reject that with the process I've been able to have up until now, because I really believe that you can be any kinds of creative that you want to be. You can be, you can do more than me. You could play the harmonica and play the violin and play the guitar, and, you know, whereas I play violin, okay? But like, great. So you can be as expansive creatively as you want, as long as you accept that potentially your expectations might not be how it actually plays out. That's what I would say about balance. I think it's kind of like you truly can have it all, but it's just a matter of understanding that your awareness is limited sometimes. And so for that reason, it might not always look how you want it to look, but you can engage yourself in all of the ways that feel purposeful, and you can and you will continually calibrate that. You are able to come into calibration with that continually. You're not going to just have it figured out. You're not going to just have balance. It's not going to happen. You have to work at it. As long as you're able to kind of let go, I think, of any kind of attachment to it looking a certain way, I believe you can be as creatively expansive as you want. And what that means, coming back to your question, is that's your balance. That is your balance, as long as you don't attach and as long as you allow yourself to flow.
I love it. I'm thinking, like, people always talk about work-life balance, and I'm like, play balance. That sounds
amazing. Play balance. Yes. Yes.
I have a question that's probably more personal for me. So sure. There's certain times where you have a chunk of time and it's structured where you have to do this, this, and this, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're working on a project, there's deadlines or whatever. But then there's other times where you just jump in and you don't have really expectations. You kind of do, but you just need to sit there and do something. If it's painting, you just need to paint without a plan. If it's writing, just write, but just sit your butt down and do the thing. And then something magic happens. Like at the end of the 3 hours or whatever, something comes out. And does that just me, or do you do that too? What is that? I don't know.
Yes, yes, yes. The answer to that is absolutely yes. I feel like I'm all over the place. And, you know, just to come back briefly to what I was saying, for me, it's like I spent a lot of my life feeling like because I was so all over the place creatively, that would mean I couldn't, you know, be a successful author. That would mean that I couldn't successfully finish this project or that. And when I finished my first novel last year, it was really immense for me because that proved to me that I could, in fact, do all of this creative stuff, but still focus and finish. Because at the end of the day, it really does come down to output to a certain extent, right? Like, so you can have your own goals, of course. Everyone can be inclined whatever way they want to. But the satisfaction of finishing a product and the confidence and the identity shift that can happen from that, it's huge. Obviously, it's huge. But to come back to your question as such, yeah, like I definitely have issues with, you know, what should I be focusing on? Like, and maybe I'll focus in one area, but then it's like totally different in a different way. And my response right now would be, I think this idea that's very personal for everyone of trying to give yourself grace, you know, and understand that it is all part of creativity to be like that. Your focus is beautiful. Your lack of focus, sure, it's frustrating as hell. And you don't have to call it beautiful or whatever, but it's still part of you as a creator, you know? So it's just embracing these different modalities of self, I think, as best we can, because being hard on ourselves doesn't let us move forward. I think a lot of us, with childhoods being what they are, especially, we kind of internalize this idea
that when you're hard on yourself, that can make you progress more or like expand, right? Like, I think that we have that in us on some level. It's not true. You know, when you allow yourself to show love and direct love towards those parts of yourself that are frustrating, really frustrating, that's when you will start to see
some shifts in your output.
That's when you will start to see shifts in your mentality. And I do think that ultimately that allows you to become much more creative.
Yeah, I love it. So even like the military isn't doing that hard, like you jump rah, anymore. Yeah. They've changed their whole style. But when I'm thinking about that, like my thing that I've learned just in the last year, though, is like if my attention is going towards that, obviously there's deadlines, right? But if it's just something where my attention is going somewhere where I wanted it to go here, but it's going there, I'm just trying to follow it and flow with it and get out of my own way. And what ends up happening is, okay, well, I sat down to do this, but this is took over. At the end of the day, you end up with more output, like you're saying. It's
yeah.
A beautiful dance.
Yeah. I like how you articulated that. I like the flow aspect of it, especially. And it's, I think it, again, kind of comes back to expectations. Like I was saying a little bit before, it's like our awareness, I really believe, our awareness of our capability, our awareness of other people, our awareness of life itself, right, is here. It's like fraction, right? If you had the ability to really understand just how big and whole everything is, be a complete reality shift, right? But so we're operating here.
You know, we're expecting something here. That doesn't mean that's the truth.
You know, if you want it to be your truth, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. But you can shift your perspective in any moment, regardless of how hard it seems, because there's so many ways to do that.
So like right before we jumped on here, I was reading a book called Living Untethered. It's like a follow-up from The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer.
Okay.
And he's talking exactly that, how like you think that this moment in front of you is for you and it has nothing to do with you. If you look to the left, there's a moment there and another something happening there. And if you're not in the room, that stuff's still happening. But we get attached so much.
Yes. Yes. I've heard about that book. I actually literally put it on my list yesterday. So that's really funny. I will have to read that. But yeah, you know, that, if I may, what that brings up for me is this idea of, I was speaking with someone about this recently, fragmentation in different ways of looking at it. I could say a lot about that, but for now, what I'll say is when we look at that, you know, moment, like you're saying, the moment in front of us, and we think that that's all that there is, and understanding vaguely that it's not, but we're focused on it, right? I like to kind of think of art as each of those moments. It's like you as an artist are a moment. You as an artist are an essential piece of the puzzle, okay? So everyone's art is important. Like literally everyone, even people who don't identify as artists, let alone creative. I genuinely believe that everyone should be producing art. I believe that everyone should be contributing to the puzzle in that way, because each of those pieces of our reality comes together to create the totality that is the truth, right? We're just focused in on ourselves. We're focused in on what we're doing, but it's everyone. Everyone's art is special. Everyone's art is needed. Everyone's art creates the whole picture as it were. So I think that that's really important.
Each unique piece paints the mosaic of everything.
Yep. Yeah.
A couple more questions. One is about challenges when you're trying to tap in creativity. We kind of talked about that. You said you're a violin, and correct me if I'm wrong, but something like violin, it takes a long time. So I'm guessing you've been playing for a while. And so not just for violin, but for all of it, how much does grit play into it? Grit meaning perseverance sustained over a long period of time.
Yes, yes. Grit plays a huge part in it. I remember that. So I started playing violin when I was very young. I was in the fourth grade. And there was a part of my life where I very much like, flat out stopped. I was like, I will not play this violin anymore. I think I was in seventh grade. And my parents forced me to get back into it. And of course, as a kid, you know, I was like, no, like, I don't want to. But I'm very grateful that that happened. And from then on, I was able to, I guess, enact the grit necessary. So all of this to say, I think that having some kind of support or guidance or accountability from an outside source is so important. And that's one of the things that I'm looking to do as I'm building this platform of creativity, whereby I feel like being in community with other people who want support, who want guidance, and they want it to be organic and they want it to be very heart driven. I think that's like of paramount importance. But to come back specifically to the violin, yes, it's a lot of grit. I will say, as like a little story that I really love because it's important to me, I was in a band for, I think, 4 years, my most recent group. And the number one comment that I would get from people would be, you know, of course, like, oh, that was so great. Like, you're so great. But they would say, I always wanted to play violin, you know, and to me, I wouldn't discount what they're saying because I understand why they're saying it. But at the same time, I'm like, you can, like, you can play violin, like, you know, and so it's the creative psychology that's stopping you. It's like whatever beliefs that you have there, the only thing that's stopping you. So I think that truly anyone has deep down the grit, the ability, the artistry to play violin, to do literally anything. Sometimes you need that outside push. You need that force reflecting back to you, these parts of yourself that are having those labels, that are having those restrictions. But yes, I think that grit is a very good point that you're making. It's a very good question you're asking, because at what point, you know, do you decide that something is kind of maybe pushing you too far? Or at what point do you decide this is something to let go of versus to push through, right? And that's a very, very personal practice. And I think that the more that you do work on yourself in terms of both authenticity and sincerity, which you can achieve through creativity, I believe, the more that you do work on those two areas of your life, the more that you will understand, okay, this is what grit means to me. This is when I should persevere versus maybe this is when I should pull back. Like, maybe violin isn't right for me anymore, or maybe it is and I just need to be uncomfortable. Because that's what I'll maybe end on that I think is really important. Creativity is uncomfortable. It's not always going to feel good. It's not always going to be like, oh, I made this thing and it's awesome, right? A lot of creativity is being willing to be in discomfort, I feel. And the more that you allow yourself to be in a place of discomfort, I think the more that you can expand as a human being, because we need that as a growth modality.
Yeah, I love it. It's like writing a book, right? So I wrote my first book last year, and it's the same thing. You have the finished book and it's like, hey, look at this. But really, it's like all the stuff that went into it. And then the reason I kind of talked about grit there is because we're talking about blockages and it's not feeling right. And like that grit can also feel like that, where like sometimes it's not that there's a blockage. You just need to sit there and put in the time. And then the same thing, it's reminding me of a marathon, right? Like you run a marathon, you finish, that's the race. It's one day, 4 hours, whatever, on one day. But it's not. There's like 120 days that went before that to get you there. And so that's the grit factor, where like you show up even if you don't feel like it, because you have curiosity, passion, sincerity, authenticity, and just love for what you're doing. And you know that if you get through it, it's going to be better on the other side. And final thought to that, there's a book called Think and Grow Rich. And at the beginning, at the beginning of the book, they talk about this guy who, he was doing the gold rush. He borrowed all this money off his family. He bought all this equipment. He went out. He found the gold. He was digging up gold. All the gold dried up. And he sold all his stuff. He gave up and he quit. And the guy who bought it was like a trash collector. He didn't know anything about it, but he hired an engineer to come in and to survey the land. And the gold vein picked back up 3 feet from where this guy quit. And so, like, you're this close to your dreams, and just persevere and push through, because you might be 3 feet away.
Yeah. I read it, and that story totally resonates with me. I remember that specific part of the book. And it's just so wild, right? And that comes back to this idea where we were talking about of your awareness versus what might be beyond that. Right. So we are very limited here. That doesn't mean that's the truth. That's just what you're capable of being in that moment. So create a practice in whatever form that takes. that will let you venture out from that place in whatever way that you can.
Beautiful. A couple more questions. So as this episode winds down, if this resonates with you, please reach out to Phoebe. Like, subscribe, share, follow, all that stuff. But definitely reach out to Phoebe. I always ask everybody this. This is the Phase 4 podcast. And Phase 4 in the six-phase meditation by Vishen Lakhiani is all about creating your future 3 years from today. So where is Phoebe 3 years from today?
Well, thank you for the question. I would say that I really am going to be speaking on a lot of different stages across the world, bringing people into what I see as a movement, what I see as a very heart-led community purpose. And that is, again, to help people come into creativity in their own way, help people who don't identify as creative to actually not only identify as that, but to find real purpose in it and understanding that my belief that it's all important and it's all worthwhile and it's all valid. I believe that that is what allows you to create your own life. So using creativity as like we understand it to be creative in more abstract life designing ways, that's kind of like the sweet spot for me. So for 3 years from now, you know, that's going to be the movement. That's going to be the message. That's going to be the community, you know, with fine people like yourself being part of that. Like truly anyone that I think feels the call, right, to be creative. And all these people do, all these people who don't say, oh, I'm creative. Like they have the call. Like I really mean it. Like they have the call to be creative in some way. Those people who came up to me asking about violin, they wanted to be creative. I could say like, do you think you're creative? They could say, no, it doesn't matter. We all have the call to be creative because that is literally who we are. We are creative. We are creators. So anyway, the movement, the community of that 3 years from now, it's going to be big.
Yeah. And like, as you're saying that, I'm just thinking God, like, so if God created the world and we're made in the image of the creator, then we have to be creative. Like,
exactly.
It's your birthright.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And it's different for every person because we were all, of course, also made to be different. But that's why we were made to be different, because we're all part of the totality, right? So it's all creative. It's all beautiful. It's all good.
Beautiful. And before I ask my final question, I usually let the guests take it wherever they want. Some message of hope, something, upcoming event, something you want to sell, whatever you want. Maybe tell us about your book.
Well, thank you. Okay, I appreciate that. I think my final message would just be a reinforcement of some things I've said in a certain way, which is just that I truly believe that you listening right now, you are an artist in your own right. It doesn't matter how you've looked at it in the past. You know, it doesn't matter that even you want to be seen as that now, but just think of the different things that you do every day. And if you could just try whatever feels right to give certain things that you've done a little bit of an angle of like, oh, that was a good idea, you know, or, oh, that actually was creative, you know, whether you were taking like some silly pictures with a friend or whether that meant like you were like kind of maybe even just going back through your past and you saw some pictures you drew as a kid, whatever it is, just reminding yourself that these are all creative acts and that doesn't have to land anywhere, but just try to integrate little acknowledgments into your life of the daily things that you do, because everything that we're doing is creative. Everything that we're doing is needed, and everything that we're doing is creating you as a person at the same time. So it is the ultimate creative act to be breathing every minute, to be learning every minute, because learning and creating is how we expand.
And what we focus on expands.
And what we See, I thought we would come full circle and we did. That's great.
My final question is, how can people reach you?
I think that the best way for people to reach me would be to find me on TikTok. My username is AlightenIt, so AlightenIt, just like it sounds, ENT, AlightenIt. I would love to connect with you on there.
Amazing. Phoebe, I'm so grateful for your time. This was awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it.